tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 4th of August, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a bit of a different subject to get into today, and it concerns drill rap music, which is effectively rap music that is made by the black gangs of London. And in their lyrics, they talk about actual things that go on. So far, nothing wrong with it, talking about what you see from day to day. But some of them talk about the violent attacks that they have been involved in, the murders that they've been involved in, or preparations for murders. And some of these lyrics have been used in court cases to prosecute these gang members. And there are people and advocacy groups that are trying to prevent this from happening. Now, when I was in court, one of the charges against me was for playing a punk song, which was about 40 years old. And the punk song had the N-word in it. And it also talked about hanging traitors and Jews as well. And they said that this was the most serious of my offences, was playing this rap song. And it was quite clearly not an instruction to people. It was quite clearly not saying go out and do this. It was effectively a fantasy scenario. And the barrister that I had, she had experience in this sort of area. I think she was mainly an immigration specialist, but she had also dealt with some of these black gang members that were being prosecuted with the help of drill lyrics. And the difference between what I was playing, which was just a fantasy scenario, not about specific people. The difference between that and the drill rap music is that they will be rapping about specific people and making specific threats. They will literally be making threats against specific targets. So what I was playing would be legal in America, but I suspect that what the drill rappers were sing about would actually be illegal in America, because they talk about specific threats to specific people. And they also talk about specific actions that they have carried out. But we now have these advocacy groups that are trying to say that these lyrics should be inadmissible in court, effectively. And that's what today's news story is about. It's from the Daily Mail. The headline is, "Killers will go free if campaigners succeed in banning drill rap lyrics as evidence in court cases," police warn. Scotland Yard has told ministers gang members are unlikely to be convicted or even prosecuted in murder and serious violence cases if a campaign succeeds to ban music lyrics from prosecutions. Now, as far as music lyrics are concerned, generally, I don't think they should be used in prosecutions. But if they're talking about specific people, it can be shown that they are talking about a specific case, then I think they should be used, but generally they shouldn't be used. I think it's completely wrong that Mr. Bond was given a 10-year prison sentence in Austria for making rap music, parody rap as well, just joke rap that used a lot of World War II imagery. But because Austria has very strict laws about, I think it was rehabilitating Nazism was the law that was brought in after the Second World War. And they prosecuted him under that, and they gave him 10 years. And effectively, it was for making joke lyrics. Okay, some people might find the jokes in bad taste, but they were effectively jokey lyrics. Now, a terrorist went and carried out a terrorist act, and he videoed it. And he had one of Mr. Bong's songs playing on the stereo. And because of that, there was a massive operation put into effect, and all the world's intelligence agencies went after Mr. Bond, who happened to be an Austrian. Now, I thought he was an American. I thought he was living in America to be making this sort of music, but he wasn't. He was actually living in Austria. And after about a year of searching for him, they found him and they prosecuted him. And it was down to this terrorist that was playing his music in this video is what sort of tipped them off to him, or what got them interested in finding him and prosecuting him in the first place. I think they were trying to say that his lyrics had influenced this terrorist because he was listening to it. I don't think people are influenced by lyrics. As I say, I think it should only be if it can be shown that a specific target is being threatened, then it should be used. And not a group. A group being threatened is not good enough, but a specific target, a specific person. As I say, which is the difference with these drill rap lyrics. They're talking about specific people. A group of lawyers and academics is lobbying ministers to make lyrics inadmissible, arguing that it criminalizes creativity and unfairly penalizes young black men. So this is the reason they're saying it's racist, because it's only black men that are prosecuted for singing about killing people, that these lyrics should not be able to be used. I mean, this just shows you how ridiculous all this anti-racist narrative is. They're saying that it's racist that these lyrics are used. I mean, what are they saying, that white people have lyrics where they boast about killing people and threaten about killing people, and the police don't use those lyrics to prosecute white people for? Well, white people don't make lyrics like that. It's only black people that make lyrics like that. So it's not racist, but because it's disproportionately used against black people, because there is a disproportion there, and that is because it's different behavior by black people to white people, because there is this disproportion there, they are claiming that it is racist. And we're seeing this more and more. I mean, we saw David Lammy saying, well, black people that go to prison are then more likely to go and carry out further criminal acts once they're out of prison. So therefore, we should stop putting them in prison altogether. As if it was putting them in prison that actually made them responsible for further criminal acts, not the fact that they were criminally minded. We see this more and more often. Wherever there is a difference in statistics between black people and white people, and if it shows something negative for black people, instead of saying, well, that means that the black community has a problem with this particular issue, they say, well, it must be racism. It must be white people's racism that's caused this. I mean, they even do it in the medical arena when you have things like heart rate monitors, which go on your finger that measure your heart pulse, and they work better on white people than they work on black people. So they say, oh, well, these heart monitors are racist. Well, it's not that they're racist, it's that black people have thicker skin and they also have darker skin. So it's more difficult for the device to actually tell what the pulse rate is. It's not that these things have been created to be racist, but because there is a difference there, a discrepancy that negatively affects black people, that they say, oh, it must be racism. And as I say, it's the same thing here with people being prosecuted for drill rap music. Instead of saying, well, it's because the drill rap music is effectively a confession to murdering someone, they're saying, oh, no, it's racism. It's racism that's using those lyrics. These prosecutors and these police are just being racist by using this confession, because the confession happens to be set to music. Detectives and families of victims fear any prohibition will lead to dangerous offenders escaping punishment. Police can produce lyrics or use a defendant's appearance in a music video as evidence that a suspect is affiliated with a gang or involved in a specific crime. Now, if they are in a music video with other gang members, clearly, that shows that they are affiliated with a gang, the same as if the video was a video on somebody's phone of them all in a pub together or all doing something else together. It's not the fact that it's a music video, it's the fact that it shows the defendant or the suspect with other gang members. That's why it's used, not because it's music. The evidence has proved vital in some cases, including those when a music track leads to a murder in retaliation, or the killer confesses in a rap mocking the victims and their families. This has been used a few times to prosecute people. The Art Not Evidence group wants a change in law that would limit the use of lyrics only when it can be said they are directly related to a crime, preventing police from using the music to prove gang affiliation. So they're saying, well, you shouldn't be able to use that to show that this suspect is friendly with the people in the music video. I mean, why else would he be in the music video unless he was friendly with the people that were making the video? I mean, the police aren't saying, oh, well, this random person here is in this video that also has this gang in it, so therefore he's affiliated to them. I mean, the music videos are actually showing these suspects doing things with the members of the gang. An open letter sent to the government argues that these creative expressions have no connection to the serious crimes alleged and are used to paint a misleading and prejudicial picture, conflating art with evidence. Well, no, it's using the art as evidence, because black people seem to have this predilection for documenting their crimes, don't they? I mean, you see this with videos, and they'll film themselves attacking somebody, and then that will be used as evidence against them. And it's the same thing with this drill rap music. They will film themselves rapping about wanting to murder somebody, and then somebody will get murdered, and it will be linked to that gang that was in the video, and then the person, all the members of that gang will be prosecuted for it. And this is the way that the legal system is. Now, unfortunately, one of these laws that they brought in to prosecute gang members, because what was happening is someone would get murdered, and it would be 20 people that were involved in the murder in the gang, but it would only be the one person that actually hit the final blow with a hammer that would get prosecuted. So they thought up this dual responsibility law, which they brought in, which said that if you don't actually stop somebody from carrying out the murder, then you are equally as guilty as him. And this was used to try and get the entire gangs when these murders would come out. But unfortunately, it means that lots of pretty much innocent people are also become caught in this law. There was a young lad that I was in the prison hostel with, and he clearly had brain damage. And he had scored some cannabis from a group of people and then gone back to his flat to smoke the cannabis. While he was in his flat smoking the cannabis, the group had had a fight with somebody, and that person had ended up dying. And this person with brain damage, who was in his flat smoking his cannabis, was then prosecuted with manslaughter. They said that he was a part of this group, even though he had gone home and was nothing whatsoever to do with this attack. They said that he was equally as guilty of manslaughter under this law. It was called the Joint Enterprise Law. They said that he was part of a joint enterprise to kill this person, even though he wasn't even there. And because he had brain damage, he wasn't able to properly defend himself in court. And there were lots of instances of this when I was in there. I met quite a few people that were in there under this joint enterprise law. They were white. They weren't actually part of these gangs, which the law was brought in to prosecute. And there were Labour politicians that were trying to change this law because of this, because there were so many innocent people that were prosecuted. And I think what's happening here is the opposite of that. You have a law about that evidence can be used of drill rap music, and that has led to prosecutions of people for carrying out murders because they were boasting about carrying out the murder. So it's a completely different situation, but it's a law that was brought in for the same people, effectively. The evidence has proved vital in some cases, including those when a music track leads to a murder in retaliation, or the killer confesses in a rap mocking victims and their families. The Art Not Evidence group wants a change in the law that would limit the use of lyrics only when it can be said they are directly related to a crime, preventing police from using the music to prove gang affiliation. Signatories to the letter, that's the letter by Art Not Evidence, include rapper Giggs and DJ Semtex, senior academics from the universities of Oxford, Manchester and the London School of Economics, and Riel Carmi Jones KC, chair of the Criminal Bar Association. Okay, well, they've got these people that are saying, well this isn't fair, effectively. But at the same time, you've got people that have been prosecuted for murdering people after boasting about carrying out the murder in their lyrics. I mean, there was one person, again, while I was in prison, in the prison newspaper that we used to get, that showed you that this rapper that had stabbed somebody was effectively rapping while he was in prison. He was just about due to be released. And the reason why he was prosecuted is because he literally boasted about murdering somebody. And that's why he was prosecuted. So these drill rap music lyrics, they are very helpful in these prosecutions. I mean, how can you argue against that? How can these signatories to the letter argue against that when it's quite clear that there are people in prison that were guilty of murder? I mean, who are they saying is not guilty of these offences, but was prosecuted by using drill rap music lyrics? They haven't presented anybody that they claim was wrongfully prosecuted here, at least that I can find. They're just saying that it's racist, effectively, because it penalises black people. Campaigners also want to see independent musical expert witnesses instead of police witnesses in court. Well, yes, I guess that they may have a point there. But then who is the independent music expert witness going to be? You could say, well, it's quite right that they should have this because they're going to be talking in a different language, effectively, to English. They're going to be talking in this sort of, I don't know what it is, London, Jamaican gangster way of speaking. And you might need somebody to interpret. But I think the police would have done that anyway, rather than just taking it on face value. Baroness Shami Chakrabarti has said, "We are in a ridiculous position at present where somebody's musical taste is somehow probative of their criminal intent. It is like saying that my love of Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather makes me a mobster." But it's not saying that, is it? It's saying that if people are boasting about wanting to kill somebody and there is then evidence that they were part of killing that person, like they get caught with a knife with the person's blood on it, then this is part of the evidence that it was premeditated murder. They're not saying that just because somebody is likes drill music, that therefore they are responsible for these murders. It's only ever used in specific instances, specific cases. They don't just go after black people and say, oh, well, you listen to drill rap, therefore you must be a member of a gang. They have to have, on the music video, they have to have them doing things with the gang in order to do that. The Met's lead on gang material, Detective Sergeant Matt Corbin, fears there could be incorrect verdicts as a result. He said it is a key tool in securing justice for victims and taking violent criminals off our streets. It has proved essential in proving cases of serious violence, including murders, by making sure juries have sufficient information to find a verdict. So it's not just saying, oh, they like rap music. It's literally proving a link with murder. To be clear, restricting officers' use of drill and rap lyrics as evidence could significantly limit our ability to prosecute cases of serious violence and secure justice for victims. I mean, it's the equivalent of saying, well, you're not allowed to use a signed confession. If black people were more likely to make signed confessions, they would say you're not allowed to use a signed confession because black people are more likely to make signed confessions, and therefore it's racist. And that's the equivalent of what this drill rap is. It's a signed confession. You can see the person that's singing the lyrics, and the lyrics are being sung about murdering someone specific. He told the Daily Mail, "Our policy is very clear. We would treat opera, pop, or anything else the same way if it was linked to a murder." Yes, but that's all white people's music, isn't it, you see? And drill rap is black people's music. Therefore, it's racist to use it as evidence. In some murder cases, drill artists are storybooking everything they are going to do, the officer added. Yesterday, the mother of a 15-year-old boy whose killer wrote a rap about his murder said it was disgusting that campaigners want to restrict the use of lyrics as evidence. Leonardo Riard was about to start his GCSEs when he was stabbed to death at a music video shoot in June 2023. He had no links to gangs but was excited to hear filming would take place outside his home in Archway, North London, and went to watch with his older brother. Leo's killers believed members of a rival gang would be at the shoot and ambushed it with machetes, killing him and Clevi Shake, 23. A day later, Xavier Paponi wrote a rap on his phone bragging about the attack, which led to him being convicted for murder. So it's quite clear that he was responsible for this. I mean, we also had this year, there was a white lad that was murdered again, something to do with drill rap music videos. He was a videographer and his father was a film director or a film producer. And he went somewhere in London with his recorder to film one of these drill rap videos. And he ended up being murdered. And he was nothing to do with the gang. He was just recording the video. Again, it linked to drill rap music. It seems to be the only music scene that is actually linked to murder. Leo was a quirky little boy, his mother, Valentina Loki, told the Daily Mail. Highly missed, highly loved. If you think it is acceptable as an artist to talk about someone who has been murdered, then we have got to be able to use that in court. If we cannot, it should not be allowed on any platform, YouTube or social media. Miss Lockie, who previously worked as a behaviour manager at her son's school, said it was heartbreaking to read lyrics about the murder. They were such a crucial part of getting justice. So as much as it was painful, I was all for it. On the proposed restrictions, she added, it's disgusting. Talking about that, about how you killed someone, will never be acceptable. The case is one of many in which drill, a subgenre of rap, has been central to a prosecution. In October, Likan Anisoji was jailed for 28 years for fatally stabbing a gang rival while wearing a balaclava, bragging later in a song that he would escape justice as No Face, No Case. So there we go. I mean, these lyrics specifically link the people singing the lyrics to the murder. And yet you have this black advocacy group who want them to be banned as evidence. Now, since we're talking about London, we have another London story which occurred over the weekend about a Ghanaian festival. So we just heard about black drill rappers and how they're involved in murder and they sing about it. And now we had a completely different type of black African. They had a festival in London, a Ghanaian festival in London. And as we shall see here, it descended into chaos with attendees carried out on stretchers after a stampede. And the stampede appears to have happened because they didn't want to queue. And this is something that the British are known for, actually, for forming orderly queues. Maybe not so much in other parts of the world, though. A London music festival descended into chaos yesterday. Say this is a news report from Monday. Into chaos yesterday as attendees were carried out on stretchers after a stampede. 23 people were injured at the Ghana party in the park in Copthall Playing Fields, Barnet, due to crushing, the Metropolitan Police have said. This reminds me of another stampede with people being crushed that took place in Brixton, I think. The Brixton Empire, was it? Or the Hackney Empire? I think it was a Brixton Empire. Some Brixton club recently in the last year or so, where there was an African singer that was there, Afrobeat singer. And again, there was a massive stampede where people just didn't want to queue. So, and I don't think it's a coincidence here that it's an Afrobeat festival. And once again, we have a stampede. Of the 23, 9 people which were assessed by the London Ambulance Service and 3 were taken to hospital, the Met confirmed, but their injuries have been described as non-life-threatening. In one video posted on social media, a police officer tells festival goers, there has been a massive accident, a stampede, which led to quite a lot of people getting hurt. For that reason and for public safety, it has to be shut down. So they actually shut down the festival because of this. The officer continued to say the situation was not ideal, acknowledging people had paid good money to attend the festival, but advised parties to go to the organisers for refunds. Well, it was the organisers that didn't put the queue barriers there so that people formed an orderly queue, and that was the cause of this. Videos on social media also show a fire breaking out at the festival, with flames being seen above the high fences enclosing the event. The Met confirmed the small fire on site caused the stampede of attendees. It said a small fire on the site near to the entrance had required the gates to be closed temporarily. A crowd built up and surged when the gates were opened. Officers responded quickly and, working alongside event organisers, they formed a barrier between the surging crowds and people on the floor. Officers gave initial medical care, including CPR, to those who had sustained injuries. They were joined by paramedics and firefighters as part of a coordinated multi-agency response. But one festival goer took to social media, describing the event as, quote, dirty, and blaming poor planning for the festival's abrupt shutdown. So it wasn't just dirty, and what they mean by poor planning is that they didn't have any crowd barriers. You know, you sort of have little fencing there so that the queue loops back on itself like a snake before it gets to the entranceway, where they didn't bother with any of that. It's not the African way to do things like that, is it? It's the African way to just pile in effectively, which is what happened. And I say, again, which happened at this Brixton club recently as well. He wrote, fire outbreak at the Ghana party in the park. Poor planning leads to the collapse of Ghana party in the park. Dirty environment coupled with a dirty stage leads to this. So he's quite clear that it was very dirty there as well. Another said, at the time, Ghana Party in the Park, a.k.a. Shatterfest, has had a stampede with people seriously injured. Two air ambulances have flown in to take some of the injured away. People have been unable to get into the event since 2 p.m. There are probably 1,000 people outside right now. The festival is hailed as the largest Ghanaian event outside of the West African nation. And it was very much like Ghana, as I should imagine, with a stampede there and nobody queuing. It has been running since 2005, attracting the capital's Ghanaian diaspora to celebrate the country's music, culture, food, fashion and community. The festival's organisers issued a statement last night saying, following the unfortunate incident at today's event, we wish to provide an update regarding the abrupt closure of Ghana in the park. The decision to close the festival was made solely on the grounds of health and safety. The statement followed false reports there had been stabbings at the London Festival, but organisers assured that no such behaviour took place. They added, we would like to clarify that there were no incidents of stabbing and deaths as being speculated. Now, why might people be speculating that stabbings or deaths might occur at an African festival? I wonder, do we not get lots of stabbings at Notting Hill? I also looked up this Brixton stampede, and people actually died there. It was at the Brixton Academy where they were crushed. It was in 2022. As I say, again, it was Afrobeat. It was an African event that was taking place there. So it seems to me that they have this problem in Africa. Ghanaians particularly have this problem in Africa of stampeding at these sorts of events. And when they come to Britain, I mean, they might even be first or second generation Africans that were going to this festival. And exactly the same thing happens. And it sort of kind of implies that you can take the African out of Africa, but you can't take the Africa out of the African. And even though they are in Britain, even though they might have British citizenship, might have been granted to them, they are still going to behave as if they are black Africans, and they will still stampede if there is a chance. And that is dangerous. And one of the reasons for it is because they don't naturally queue like white people do. Well, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.